God had set into motion the plan, His plan. His plan for us. His plan for His Son. His plan for everything that exists. Once He set it into motion, it could not be changed. It would not be changed. Life will not change it. A vote of a group of people will not change it. God says, here's what I want for you. I want you to be a part of my family. Now, I'm not going to make you be a part of my family. I want you to choose to be a part of my family. I'm going to give you every good reason that you can imagine so that you will know why you really want to be a part of my family. I am your God and I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to send my only begotten Son, and my only begotten Son is going to give His blood for your salvation. And His blood is what's going to seal you in me. It's when I see the blood, I see my Son. When I see the blood, I see hope for you. Therefore, I want my Son to have offspring. That's the Christian. That is the family of God. The offspring to Jesus is the church. After all, Jesus said, I died for the church. Matter of fact, I'm coming back for the church. It's my bride. I'm coming to bring you to be with me. But I want you to know what an awesome relationship this truly is. Jesus said, I'm going to give it all for you because you can't. Jesus knew the weakness of the human existence. Jesus knew the problems that each individual Christian's going to have. Jesus knew the hurt. He knew the pain. But He came so He could live the existence of pain. And can't anybody tell me that you believe that you hurt worse than Jesus did in any situation in your life? He took on the guilt of the world. But He took on your guilt as an individual, loving you as an individual, because you're a brother or sister to Jesus when you say yes to Him. And He says, now here's the way life eternal is going to work. You're going to be born into human form. And in this human condition, I'm going to give you the ability to live life. Now, life is not going to be easy. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be nasty. There's going to be a lot of good times. And there are more than likely going to be a lot more bad times. There's going to be a lot of pain. There's going to be hurt, brokenness. There are going to be lies everywhere. That's called life. But I want to make you a promise. I'm not going to leave you stuck there. So therefore, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. I want to give you the real life. It's the story, Brother Randy. It's the story of our human and our eternal existence. So you can't separate eternity from me. I'm in a human form right now. I don't have to be stuck this way much longer, but I'm in a human form. I have the promise of God within my life, and that promise is, Larry, I love you, and I'm going to allow you to be with me forever and ever and ever. But it's going to be a spiritual rebirth. And you're going to be allowed to be born again by the power of my blood, because yours can't handle it. I'm going to seal you in a personal relationship with me, my brother and my sister. Woo! That's the story. A story that is powerful. A story that is so true. A story that lasts throughout eternity. You see, your salvation, my salvation can't be taken away from us. I'm sealed. I got Jesus' blood sealing me in. Oh, but in the meantime, I got to deal with life. The human existence, it's exciting. Never a dull moment. The people will tell you they love you today, they'll tell you they hate you tomorrow. You'll be popular today and unpopular tomorrow. It's just according to what you said at the last family gathering as to whether you're going to be the last one to get the invitation. Oh, and you, I meant to call you. Yeah, we got together yesterday. But it's a fact of this human living. But we only live it for a short period. Eternity? Well, that lasts a long time, Brother Randy. There's no end to eternity living. And for eternity, you and I, that's right, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you and I will live together forever in eternity. A love that can never be shaken because of the blood. Jesus said, I've sealed you, you're mine. But all the religious leaders of Jesus' day, well, they didn't like Jesus telling you and me that we could have a personal relationship with God without going through them. Why? Who ever heard the like? Next thing you know, you'll think that you're as smart as they'll think that they're as smart as we are and all of that stuff. Jesus comes along and Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come. Come to me and I will in no wise cast you out. Come to me and I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Come to me. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And be sealed for eternity in the arms of God. And the leader said, we got to stop this guy. They're going to start believing this. And then they're going to decide that all they need to be saved is this Jesus. And that Jesus is who he claims he is. He's God incarnate. We can't have that. Then man loses control. I got news for you. Man lost control when God said, let it be. You see, all that exists is by the hand and the love and the mind of God. So they decide to trick him again. You'd think they'd wise up and back off from that after a while, but they never did. They come to Jesus and they say, listen, teacher. Well, let me try to read it to you. Matthew 22, verses 17 through 21. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But now listen to this. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said. Now, here's one thing that bullies like that want to do. They want to intimidate and they want to frighten. Well, this story that today deals with kindred spirits. See, Jesus is God incarnate. He's not afraid of anybody, anything that exists. Nothing could exist if he didn't allow it to. So they're trying to intimidate Jesus, the creator of all that exists, and to trick him. Well, this spirit in Jesus, it says, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" Oh, he didn't mince words. No. Well, now, Jesus, that wasn't very nice for you to say that. Well, it wasn't very nice for them to be that, was it? And Jesus was telling the truth. "Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Then render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." So that brings us to a good question. What do we owe God? The other side of the coin. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. Does not God own all? Does not he give us the ability to have all things? He tells us that. To glorify our Savior who gave his blood for our eternal existence, without pain, without sorrow, without tears. The love that God offered through Jesus and that blood. So in their trickiness, sir, one thing I want you to remember, that you owe God. Out of all else, remember this. You owe God your holy boldness. Listen to Scripture. Acts 4, verse 29. This is a prayer that the disciples are praying. They're all together and they're praying this. Now listen to their prayer. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." What a prayer. Lord, look on the threats, listen to them, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." The blood did it. The blood brought me together. The blood wrapped his arms around me, promised me eternity with my Savior and with you. A family forever, never to be separated. A peace that the world will never understand. Well, these religious leaders had no concept of what Jesus was saying because they had hardened their hearts, because they wanted things their way. They wanted to do God's work their way. But then God's work done their way is not God's work done. Jesus said, "The way's already been taken care of. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So what do I owe him? I owe God my holy boldness. Now let me remind you of this. Holy boldness does not mean you're not afraid. Folks, when somebody, I've been stabbed four times. When somebody comes at you with a knife, or somebody points a gun at you, you get nervous. You get upset. You get scared. Especially if you've been stabbed before, you think, that's dumb to go through this again. Where's the door out of here? Holy boldness does not mean you're not afraid. Holy boldness does not mean that you're shaking, you're trembling, you're just terrified. Holy boldness means that even though you are terrified, you go anyway. You go anyway. You stand anyway, knowing that the pain is going to come. Holy boldness. Standing there in the power of Christ. You've been wrapped in the blood of the Lamb. You're afraid because you're human. Jesus promised you something. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that kindred spirit of Jesus is what makes us the church. That's what makes us family. It is the spirit of Christ through his blood that seals us together. My protection is in the blood. The love is in the Christ who gave that blood just for me, just for you. And he says, I got you. Lord, it's going to hurt, isn't it? It's not going to hurt with me. You and I don't understand a lot about the spiritual realm. We don't even understand what we think we understand about it. But that's what makes us the family. Because there was another young man. Oh, he's about 35, 40 years old. There was trouble in the first century church. Believe that or not, must have been Baptist. There was trouble because the Grecian Jews, widows that were in the church, believe they were not being treated right by the Hebraic Jew leaders in the church. And the disciples said, whoa, in the distribution of food, one was getting more than the other. And the disciples said, now wait a minute, boys. We're called by God to preach and to teach, not to serve tables. So therefore, we'll pick out seven. Seven, they were called deacons. Seven deacons to wait on the tables and make sure that the distribution is done right. The one that stands out of the first seven, his name's Stephen. Stephen was Greek. And the scripture says that he loved the Lord so much. I mean, he was flying high, Brother Randy. He's living in the Spirit. And he had the same spirit as Jesus had. Naturally, that's why we're called Christians. Therefore, the Spirit of Christ was in him, powerful. But Stephen, being chosen and was respected by all. But Stephen didn't back down. And the religious leader said, Stephen, by the way, you're getting a little out of hand. Well, I heard you said last Sunday, amen, in church. We don't do that here. You know, that reminds me, I remember years ago when I was in a revival and the story of the preacher that was preaching up a storm, and all of a sudden there was an amen came from the congregation, and the preacher got all shook up. He was young. He got all shook up and he lost his place, and he finally found it again, and he started preaching again, and the guy got all excited again and said, amen, brother, and the preacher lost it. used to have the little 3x5 cards preachers would, and they'd go by 3x5, they're gone. 3x5 cards. And finally, the third time this happened, and the brother said, "Amen, brother, amen, praise the Lord." That was it. The preacher said, "Brother, you're going to have to quit doing that. And here, we don't do that in this church."
"What are you touching me for?"
And he said, "Well, I got the Spirit. I'm excited. I got the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is in me." And the young preacher said, "Sir, I don't care what you got. You didn't get it here. So you need to just be quiet about it." That's the way life is anymore. Because one worships one way and one worships the other. They put down the worship of, "Well, you're not as close to the Lord. You don't say Jesus like I said Jesus. Therefore, you must not know Jesus." Yes, I do. I don't care how you say it. I'm from Kentucky and I can say it any way I want. But I know Jesus. You know Jesus. And Stephen says, "I know Jesus." They told Stephen, "Stephen, knock it off. You can't be talking the way you're talking in here. You don't come to worship service and say the stuff that you say. Why, you think that you get to have a personal relationship with God." Stephen said, "Yep, no, I do." So he says, they said to him, this is the Sanhedrin, this is the high court, saying to him, "Stephen, don't say that again." They're shaking him up, or so they thought, just like they thought they were Jesus. I want you to listen to how shook up Stephen was. Acts 7, verses 51 through 56. This is Stephen speaking up. They've taken him outside of town. They got stones, great big rocks. They're going to stone him to death. "You back off of this stuff or we're going to kill you." We got him shook up now. Listen, see if you think he was shook up. Stephen says to them, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." Boy, he shook up, didn't he? "You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed him with their teeth. But he," now listen to this, "but he, being full of the Holy Spirit," the same Spirit of Christ, that's what makes us family, "him being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven." Woo! Here's what he said. "And saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Only place in Scripture you will see that. Only place. All the other times in Scriptures, Jesus is always seated at the right hand of God. Stephen stood up for Jesus. Jesus stood up for Stephen. Woo! What a praise. What a way to worship. Stephen was a little excited. "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, the Father." And Jesus standing at the right hand, and he said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Stephen stood up for Jesus. Jesus stood up for Stephen. But now the Bible says the truth. He was seated at the right hand of God. But he showed us what a connection we have as a family member on the same spirit. And therefore, Jesus stood up. Can you imagine that welcome? Do you really think that Stephen felt one stone that hit him? They stoned him to death. But his story has rung loud and clear for over 2,000 years. Because it's the story of family. Your family. My family as a Christian. We're sealed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus says, you stand up for me. Watch me. Look to the right or the left. You'll see me. Look to your front. Look to your rear. You'll see me. For you are my family. You stand up for me. I'm already standing for you. Now that's a family. No second guessing. And it's all in the blood. Not in how good you are, how good you think you are, how good you want to be. It has to do with the goodness of Jesus, not yours. Yeah. Jesus wins. He won your heart when you said yes to him. And he gave you his heart for eternity. We're family. But the exciting part is we don't really appreciate it, I guess, until we start living that eternal existence. Well, I got news for you. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Jesus didn't wait. I'm eternal family now, already. He said, Larry, I want you to count it as though you're already here. Woo! That means I can't mess it up if I'm already there. Because I guarantee you, if we could mess it up, every one of us would. That's the human nature. But my family, you all, we're spiritual. We become such a spiritual family, you can't take that away from any of us. When I said yes to Jesus, I followed him in baptism because I wanted everyone to know this is what I believe. I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gave it all for me. I'm part of the family of God. That's God's word. And it doesn't get any better than God's word. Have that holy boldness. Don't you let the world try to frighten you. Don't you worry about the world. They can't do anything unless God allows them to do it. And if he allows them, that's fine with me. It can only hurt for a little bit. Not that much left of me anyway. But one thing that is left and is secure, it's my eternal salvation and my eternal brotherhood with brothers and sisters, with each and every one. For we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, all through the power of the blood of the Lamb. It don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our family. Thank you for your promise, Lord. Thank you for such love that only you can give. And we ask, Father, now that as you touch our life, as you bring us together closer in our relationship to brothers and sisters, that we'll always remember nothing can take you away from us. Nothing can take us away from you, because you willed it that way. And what you will be done. Thank you, Father, for life, for love, for your protection. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.